Welcome, everybody. Welcome back if you're rejoining me. My name's Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Wednesday. It is 4:30, and that means it's time for a little segment we like to call here Broad Appeal. And by that, I mean, in this segment every Wednesday, I love to have these great conversations with women elected leaders, candidates, activists, organizers, and folks that genuinely care about their community and helping us all do better together. We've got one great such guest with us this afternoon. She is State Senator Sarah Kieske of the Fighting Senate District 14. It's great to have you with us, Sarah. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's a delight. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So for folks who are not familiar with your district, what regions of the state does it cover? And how long have you been a senator? How did you come into this politics game, especially in these trying times?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I'll try to make it brief. I'm actually, by trade, a mental health provider and have done that for 27 years now. I still do that, individual, family, and couples therapy. And I got asked to run. And so sort of the circuitous route brought me to the state Senate. I am, as you said, state senator for District 14, and that is all of Richland County, all of Sauk County, most of Columbia County, and then a small portion of Dane County, Adams County, and Juneau County.
Yeah, it's quite a diverse area of the state, which I think presents a lot of unique opportunities to speak to the sets of issues that really cross the urban-rural divide that are about working Wisconsinites no matter what corner of the state folks are from. So let's talk about that exact initiative. Wisconsin Democrats have dubbed a program and campaign, an initiative, if you will, Affordable Wisconsin. It's a pretty catch-all term. So tell us what this is about and how Democrats are communicating this to their constituents, regardless of party preference.
Well, I think, you know, unfortunately, there is a misnomer that sometimes Democrats are out of touch, or maybe part of the elite. And one of the things that has been really eye-opening for me, and something that's been really pushing me, very much of a propellant, is to try to help people understand that those of us that are in service, that have a D by our name, are very interested in and care about working class people. That's what I am. That's what I've always been. I grew up on a small farm. My mom was a nurse. My dad was a farmer and also worked for the railroad. So that's my lineage. And so I understand just normal, everyday people's real concerns, paying for groceries, paying for either rent or a house payment, being able to afford medical care, and sometimes deciding because of the prices that you stay home rather than go in, or you don't call the ambulance if it's needed because of the prices being so high. And so it's really trying to bring that message that we hear those concerns, we live those concerns, and we want to do things that can help our constituents across the board, rural, suburban, and urban, that address these issues. There's healthcare, there's childcare. I mean, we all are struggling with our pocketbook. And so it's really trying to bring that that on the road, talking to real people about these issues, and then coming back to the Capitol with then new ideas maybe of what we can do to make things more affordable.
You know, there's this challenge that exists in moments of hyper-partisanship, certainly right now, and that is both communicating what I think is an absolutely factual, indisputable record of the success of the most core Democratic policies over the last 50 years, while acknowledging at the same time that that success has left many folks behind, and that I think it is a fair criticism of the Democratic Party to say, as the role of money in politics has accelerated, the Democratic Party has to fight that pull of corporate interests, as any party who should be serving the middle class would do. And so it's difficult to both say, hey, our record stands up to any question, and it wasn't enough. It isn't enough. And we've got to do better. How are you managing to balance trying to do both of those things and listen to what people are saying about their areas of dissatisfaction?
You know, the biggest thing for me is to be as real and honest and authentic about what I really believe, what I live every day. I'm not somebody that's had a history in politics. So for me, much of this is very surreal. And
yes.
Some of it's very disheartening. And I talk about that. I talk about learning about money and politics to the degree that it is and how, and I use the word gross regularly because it feels really gross. And that is across the board, right? Is that once Citizens United in particular, although there's all kinds of things that have contributed, it's become much more of corporate interests being able to put their thumb on the scale. And that's just the reality, and trying to then fight against that by really helping people understand that we all have a vote, but we have to use those votes, because otherwise the money will decide for us what we get if we as a people don't decide what we get by voting. And that's, you know, it's a simple message, but it's also really important to make sure that we're all actively involved. And I don't know that people care enough about politics right now, or feel like there's enough good going on in politics to really be involved, or to care about somebody that's trying to work for them. They maybe think that they're not sincere, or they're, you know, underhanded, or don't trust them, you know. So it's very tricky. And so it's, for me, it's been really about like just building relationships and letting people know, like, I'm really just a really regular person, a mom that's trying to pay my bills and get, you know, braces on my kids' teeth if I can afford it. But you know what? I had twins, so I had to go one at a time. I mean, like things like that. Because
did you flip a coin? How did you figure that one out?
Very good question. I think it was the one that was born first got them. It just was that.
And the one born minutes later will forever be resentful. I joke, of course. But
I'm actually resentful of the one that was born second, because she was born breech. And so she always gets a little bit like, no. I tease her.
Folks, if you're just joining us, I've got Senator Sarah Kieski of the 14th Senate District. We're talking about the Democrats' new campaign called Affordable Wisconsin, trying to both, I think, bring some clarity to what the record of Democrats have been in terms of working for working people, as well as be very candid about the work that needs to be done where we've fallen short. Here's a question for you. Speaking of money and politics, I recently had on a guest from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. He talked about what is termed the Montana Plan. In brief, what it means is to change each state's law of corporations, its business law that is in the statutes, to forbid corporations or foreign corporations, meaning corporations that are based in other states, from spending money in any election in the state of Wisconsin, which I thought was a genius idea. Is this being talked about amongst any of your colleagues, Republican or Democratic, within the state Senate or beyond?
You know, there haven't been real conversations yet, but we haven't also met as a caucus for a bit, because we're not getting to do any work. Yeah, we're not in. I mean, we could be, we should be, but we're not. And so, but I did read about that, and I thought that was just such an intriguing idea. I love the idea of starting to figure out how are we going to address this at a state level then? Because obviously at a federal level, it's just been a disaster that we've had to live under.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that whether you talk to Republicans or Democrats or people that are disgusted with politics and don't want to have anything to do with it, if you talk about, hey, would you support changing laws to get money out of politics in our state, the whole room will stand up and go, hell yeah. Because we all know intuitively, whether it's an elected official or you know, an administration writ large, people tend to do what is in their individualized best interest to an extent, right? And when that is, I want to win re-election, and there is a flow of money that is necessary to win re-elections in this country, you know, trying to figure out how to stem that tide would be incredibly powerful. And I think re-engaging for so many people, right? So let's put a pin in that, because I want to begin to talk about some of these, campus closures, especially the UW Baraboo campus closure. Have you been tracking this? What do you see in the future? What are you thinking about might be doable as a state legislature to address some of this? Because it appears that not only are things getting geographically less accessible, but the starving of funding for the entirety of the UW system is forcing tuition increases, when in the past, the University of Wisconsin system was a point of pride for every Wisconsinite, because it made higher education accessible and affordable for basically any family that wanted to send their kid to a university or even a two-year program.
Yeah, it's a tragedy. I mean, that's what it is. We were a beacon as a state with education, and we're losing that high level of excellence and that sort of a being a Mecca where people want to come, not just for the four-year, obviously, but really recognizing these two-year campuses have been a gateway for so many people to maybe stay in their communities and start their journey in education in a way that is affordable, accessible, and to see these closures keep happening. One happened in Richland Center, 2023, which is in my district. Now BU in Baraboo. Honestly, it's heartbreaking, and seeing that there's not been an appreciation of not only the importance of this for students, but really recognizing that these are economic drivers in these small rural communities that is having a huge impact. And I think that we need to be investing in our small communities. And I think there's the other party talks about, you know, believing in rural Wisconsin and believing in, opportunities for people so that they can, you know, be uplifted. But I'm not seeing that in some of the pragmatic ways. And this to me is one of those pragmatic ways where you keep access to education, you keep access to training, you keep access to affordability for our young people, so that, and then we can keep, like I said, the economic generator there. We can help. We can make sure that these kids can maybe stay in our state because they're staying connected in their rural roots. And it's just not happening. And I just think it's a travesty.
Folks, that's State Senator Sarah Kieske of Senate District 14, my guest in this week's edition of Broad Appeal. We're going to continue our conversation on the other side, tackling a bipartisan bill introduced by Senator Kieske alongside Senator Jesse James, who has been a guest on this program, about how to help people reintegrate through substance abuse and mental health treatment as they exit incarceration circumstances. If you truly care about crime, this is something that you understand needs to be done to help people help contribute to their communities. Stay tuned as we dig into that next, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.